I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey friends, this week's episode of Let Me Fix It has an addendum before we get to the meat of the episode, so I guess this is technically the addendum to the addendum, but we found out some news about Christina Aguilera that we just had to include. I will also say this is the first episode of Let Me Fix It that Fran and I recorded, and I was sick at the time, so the audio on my end is a little wonky. We appreciate your patience with that. On to the episode.
This week, we are diving into Christina Aguilera's career and what we'd like to see her do next. And then right on cue, it is announced that Christina is producing the stage adaptation of the movie Burlesque. So we do talk about the movie in this week's episode. We do not mention the stage show because, once again, we recorded this a few weeks ago.
I know, Fran, this is getting eerie. So we did an episode about JC, then NSYNC announced they're reuniting for a song. Now Christina has the news that she's dropping on the internet. Are we witches or what?
I mean, I keep self-deprecatingly mentioning the woo, but I think that this was us.
I need to do this for my career also, so.
Speaking of Let Me Fix It becomes a hit TV show.
Ready.
One of Francesca's shows finally goes to series. Universe.
Okay.
Okay, so we want to talk about this stage adaptation. Steve Antin, who directed the film, is writing the book of the musical, aka that's the script for any non-musical theater folks out there. And it's going to include songs from the motion picture by Christina Aguilera, Sia, Diane Warren, and a few new songs penned by Todrick Hall and Jess Foley. Burlesque the musical, the production, will make its debut in the UK on a date that is yet to be announced. Delon, what do you think about this list?
Yo, I mean, star-studded. Sia, Todrick, who's a star in his own right, but Christina Aguilera. One of the people I really was stuck on was Diane Warren, though, Fran. Her name jumped out to me because I know it, but I don't know, and I know that she's prolific, but I don't know what she's written. So I did a little research.
Yeah.
Have you heard her? Okay. You heard of her, right?
Yeah, no, I know who she is, but I remember one time she was getting dragged on Twitter.
Oh, right, recently. Because she came for Beyonce. Don't come for the queen.
Especially when we know you have a resume. Oh. Like, you're working, the queen is working, it's good. So, but I can't. Off the top of my head, I don't think I can name any songs she's written.
So she's the ballad queen, right, of the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you know, and also, another sidebar, the noughties, which is, I guess, what we're calling the early aughts. Have you heard of that?
No.
I've heard this today.
The noughties?
We're calling the early aughts the noughties, which does not work for me.
That sounds like your underwear drawer. Like, let me come in this naughty. Let me get some noughties out. Right.
Anyway, so she's the ballad queen.
I just also want to cut it and say, I don't like using the aughts, period.
You don't like the aughts?
It just sounds...
What would you call them? The 2000s?
The 2000s?
Oh, God, it's clunky. It's clunky.
We've got no... The 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the aughts. I understand that it means like the 00 part,
right.
But it just sounds, who says aught?
I say aught.
I say it if I'm like, we ought to go to this restaurant.
Girl, no. No, listen, but like you said, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Yeah. No, it's like, the 2000s doesn't scan. The aughts.
You know what it's giving? Lazy. 2000s? Too many syllables, if you ask me.
In the year 3000? Whatever that's. What's that like, SNL? Anyway, so Diane Warren.
Okay.
I want to play a little game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sing this song, and mm-hmm. I want you to tell me what person she wrote the song for, what famous artist, okay?
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to do my best impression like Cranwick. If I could turn back time. I don't do impressions.
That was... okay. Okay, that was actually pretty good. That was Cher. Let me tell you, the Cher, you got to do... That's shit. Yes, that's Cher. And you have to do the hair.
Oh, the hair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yo, I watched the music video. I was like, Cher better get it. She's 1,000 years old and still kicking. Still kicking.
Listen,
giving.
Cher, the work is working because she is turn back time. Bitch is timeless.
She created time.
She looks amazing.
I turn to you.
Oh, that's Christina.
Yeah, Christina there.
Easy.
How do I live without you?
Leanne Rhymes. That's how do I live without you? I won't do nothing.
You have that cover thing.
How do I live?
Unbreak my heart.
Oh, that's Tony.
Come on, right? She wrote all this songs. Francesca? What in the world? I have known you for 20,000 years, and I am so impressed. Wait, have you practiced these?
No, I just know, you know what it is? You said this before. It's not that I'm good at impressions. I'm good at picking the one part of the voice that I can emulate. Yeah. And for a lot of these people, it's the covered thing, I guess, is how you explain it.
I can't. It is so fucking good. Okay, wait. And I don't want to miss a thing.
Oh, Steven Tyler, Guns and Roses? No, not Guns and...
But
all of those white men, they all start to blend together. Aerosmith, yes, okay. With those big ass lips.
Because you love me.
Because you love me.
You were my strength when I was weak. You were my voice when I couldn't speak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. Oh, the strength you were in me.
Celine.
If you listen to all these songs, which I did for this,
they all sound
similar. I'm like, they all have the same like chords or chord structure, and the phrasing.
If I could turn to you, how do I unbreak my heart? Cause I don't wanna miss a thing because you love me.
I feel like you just, if I gave out Pulitzers, I would give one for what you just did.
Remember how, like, at the end of every year, there would be that big YouTube mashup where they would mash up all the songs?
No.
Did you ever hear that?
No.
It's like this guy, and similarly, he would take just, like, every pop song that was big that year and just mash them up, and you would realize they're all the same song. And Diane Warren, I could be as blessed to do the same thing over and over. It's just different fonts. One is in bold, one is italic. But here's my question, because I know as a Broadway star, you are a little critical when it comes to these stage adaptations. Do you think that Burlesque needs a stage adaptation? The answer is no.
No. I mean, listen, not everything should be a musical. Not everything should be a musical. And I think it's, talk about lazy, right? I think it's a little lazy to take extant IP that people know.
But that's why they do it.
Exactly. I know it's marketing. It's they feel like they've hacked. I can name five musicals off the top of my head.
Okay, wait. Now I have a real question. When your audition comes through the inbox,
I'm submitting because why?
Yes,
he needs a job.
Okay? He needs a job.
I'm not going to turn it down.
Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like they will probably do some stunt casting for the Christina role.
Yes.
Right? Like Absolutely. That's similarly with like Chicago, where they rotate in different people. I feel like Ariana Grande feels obvious, but you need somebody that can do
Wait, we could not talk about Christina without you slipping that in. I got a secret. I had a secret. I was like, it's only going to be 5 minutes before she does it. Honest to God. No, I think you're right. Ariana Grande's a good choice. The only reason I like Scarf is because
won't know what she's saying, but
there's that. But also, like, I don't know who you're going to get to do 8 shows a week, y'all. Like, Broadway is 8 shows a fucking week.
And well, that might be the opportunity to find an unknown talent, an unknown talent, somebody who maybe hasn't, who's making their Broadway debut. It doesn't have to be a big star. And to your point about the 8 shows a week, the stunt casting might be just a few nights, not the full run.
Well, and I think it would be smart to put Christina in it as a share part, you know?
I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, that would just be the smartest thing to do. And
that
have
would
her
be
do
so
like,
smart.
So Nicole Scherzinger is doing Sunset Boulevard in the UK right now.
Oh, okay.
And my friend Rachel Tucker is going on when Nicole can't. So Nicole only does certain certain days a week. So they could do that, like have Christina do like a Saturday night or, you know, once
also,
a month.
Also, let's put a pin in Nicole Scherzinger because Miss Mom.
That's a let me fix it. Because girl, I don't understand. I don't understand why she's not.
The voice is. She has the voice.
She has the look. Is she hard to work with?
She don't have the look anymore because last time I saw her, she was giving mixed race woman. I was like, who is that?
What do you mean?
She got the mixed race face special.
Oh, the Instagram face?
She looks cute. But I was like. It was like, you know what she looked like? She looked like one of Tinashe's cousins.
Oh, stop it. I hate you.
And I was like, that used to be a white woman, and now
isn't she
biracial
also like
butterfly.
Hawaiian? Maybe like the skin is just tanned? I don't know. She's Hawaiian.
No, it's she tweaked. She tweaked. She looks beautiful, but she looks like a different person.
Damn. And now on to the original episode, Christina Aguilera, From Mickey to Dirty.
I was going to say, I desperately need new, like, real headphones. So I went to Best Buy, and you were saying what I was going to say, that I can't believe Best Buy is still open.
I feel like they're
all closed.
Feels
like going back in time. Oh, there's one by me, and it's like going into 2008. They sell CDs. Like, it's so weird. Well, and the headphones I bought are terrible.
Are they really? Like, did you buy, like, over-ears?
I bought over-ears, but, like, this is the other thing. All headphones are wireless now. And I'm like, I want regular headphones I can plug in.
We are old.
But these are wireless.
We are old. Like, this is the stuff that your mother would say to you. Why can I find just like...
No, but it's because I want it for recording. I'm like, I don't want wireless. And I was like, what if I'm a podcaster? And like, you know, like...
But also,
I was like, hi, it's...
The other thing about wireless, though, is, like, I have Bose wireless headphones. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, you and I will be on the phone, and the shit just doesn't work. And you're like, what is happening? Like, they're amazing when it does work, but, like, so, you're right. We would fuck up the whole
podcast. It's like the Bluetooth waves or something. I'm sure, like, my microwave sets it off or something. I don't...
My microwave fucks up my internet. Running my microwave fucks up my internet entirely. It's amazing. The TV will stop. The podcast will stop. It's unbelievable.
The universe is like, sir, make a salad. What are you doing?
I really think I sound like Barry White. Yeah. I was going to sing Let's Get It On, but that's definitely Marvin Gaye. What? Darling, I'm getting over your little baby. My voice is so low today.
I think it sounds hot. It reminds me of that one time not early in our friendship. We've been friends for a minute, but you were in town and you had been doing CrossFit and you showed up to Blockheads and I was ready to risk it all. I was like, I have never wanted to sleep with my friend ever. And now you had like a little tank top on.
Extra small baby gap tank top. Baby gap tank top. So I have a random question for you. Can you spell Christina Aguilera's last name?
Ooh,
Aguilera.
Ooh, ooh, okay. A-U-G I-E-L-R-A?
Damn.
Yes.
No. No. No.
Oh man, the way you responded, I was like, oh shit, did I get it right?
Ooh, wait. No.
Listen. Wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Today's Let Me Fix It is all about Christina Aguilera. Welcome to the podcast. We are going to be taking a trip down memory lane to rebrand some of our favorite pop culture's best and worst and repackaging them for today. I'm Francesca Ramsey. I'm a TV writer, an actress, and a producer.
I'm DeLon Grant. I am an actor, a budding writer, photographer, teacher. We're talking about pops and flops of yesteryear, but today we are going to begin with one of our favorite topics of conversation. Fran and I talk about this diva all the time, Christina Aguilera, as we said at the beginning. And for me, Fran, she's arguably one of the best pop divas, right? But I just feel like her balloon in the year of 2023 is deflated. Like, where is she, right?
Oh, yeah. She's so talented. Nobody can argue that her voice is not incredible. But to your point about like her balloon deflating, the reality is she's always kind of been in somebody else's shadow, whether it be Britney Spears, you know, and then there was like a brief moment where there was just like a new blonde pop girl every other month. Remember when they were just popping them out? Oh, yes. Yeah. There was so Jessica Simpson,
Mandy Moore.
I'm sure there were some other ones there.
Ashley Simpson. They tried to make Ashley a thing. Isn't that the era of Lizzie McGuire too? What's Lizzie McGuire's name?
Yes, Lizzie McGuire. Hillary Duff. Yes. They were giving out record deals in the bottom of like every cereal box. I should have been eating cereal, clearly. I don't like it. but Christina is so talented. And so our show is really all about repackaging and rebranding. And so we want to look back on Christina's career and then also look forward to what we think could help fix it for her.
Because we're enormous fans and we just like want her to succeed. We want her to have her own lane, right?
Yes.
Music is her lane. Obviously, you guys, we get that. But there's like, I don't understand why she doesn't feel as relevant. So let's dig into it.
So before we jump in, you know I can do a little Christina impression, right?
Do I know? Fran has been doing this riff since I've known her. And I have to say, like, it's so I can hear it right now before you even do it. It's so good. Okay.
The thing I love about us and our friendship is we can say so much without saying anything. You just took a long pause and it was just like the shadiest pause ever. Okay, here's the Christina Aguilera.
Wait, my favorite part of it is I can't even do it.
DeLon, do you want to do a Christina impression? That was yours.
Shut up. My voice is such a mess. I cannot do impressions. Fran is always being like, give me your impression. I'm like, girl, you do impressions.
Oh my God. Well, I do that impression because that is my favorite Christina Aguilera song. I loved that song whole that? Era. Ain't No Other Man. Hello.
Oh, excuse me.
You are so rude. Okay. So look, obviously we have lots of thoughts and we love Christina's music. So let's dig into her timeline. So Christina Maria Aguilera first arrived on the national scene in 1990 with an appearance on Star Search at the age of 11, and she placed second. DeLon, what were you doing in 1990?
Oh gosh. I mean, what was I crying? Probably. wanting to play with other kids, crushing on some boy somewhere. But yo, wait, okay. Star Search though? We're aging ourselves. Guys, Star Search was like the first reality TV show competition ever. I mean, it's like American Idol, So You Think You Can Dance, Last Comic Standing, all in one. Remember growing up with that?
Yeah, it really... Yeah, what was I doing in 1990? My parents had just gotten separated, and I was also crying. I was crying a lot all through school.
I remember we were learning
how to tell time. We were learning how to tell time. Cried the whole goddamn set, the whole lesson. And to this day, you put an analog clock in me, I got to count the whole thing. I can't just look at it. So thanks,
because,
Mom and Dad.
Because your eyes were blurred when you were looking at the clock from the tears.
I was like, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
Oh, my God. You're in a doctor's office and just burst into tears because of the clock. Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah.
So you don't know how to tell time on an analog clock? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't. I mean, it's not that I don't know how. I just can't like look at it and just tell you what time it is. Like I have to.
So you can't tell time on an analog clock. That's what you said.
No. That's a different sentence that I did not say. What I said was, I cannot just look at it and know the time. I have to go 5, 10, 15, 20. Like I have to do the math.
I see. Okay.
But I get there.
I hear you, Andy. Listen, that's what matters. You can figure out what time it is. Okay, continue.
Okay, so we went on this diversion. Let's come back to say that Star Search, we agree, was the OG. And it really put Christina on the map. And then 2 years later, she was cast in the reboot of the Mickey Mouse Club. And on that show, she was nicknamed the Diva.
I mean, even in pre-adolescence or pre-teen, they knew who she was, right?
They knew.
So for anyone who was born after 1994, the Mickey Mouse Club was a kids' variety show, also starring some of the other famous folks we know in the world. Britney Spears, never heard of her. Justin Timberlake, J.C. Chazet, Carrie Russell, Ryan Gosling. I mean, it was a star-making show.
Yeah. There presumably were other children on that show, but we don't know where they are.
Maybe we'll do an episode of it. Like, let me fix the random, because there was one black kid, wasn't there?
There was one black, I don't know his name. I have never seen that man again. But obviously the Mickey Mouse Club casting people, they got something right. They knew who, like they could spot talent, and Christina was in there. So she performed on the Mickey Mouse Club until, like you said, it was canceled in 1994. And then in 1998, I thought this was very interesting, she recorded Reflection for Disney's Mulan. This was before she even had a record deal.
That was a jam, yo.
That was, I mean... And you know what? The other thing I don't think people talk about enough is it really requires a level of talent to have a successful ballad. Like, not everybody can do a ballad as their debut song. Like, you want a debut that's kind of poppy and fun and easy to sing along to. But to come out the gate with, like, this emotional, belty song, I mean, it just really speaks to her talent.
You're absolutely right. Because, I mean... Even you pose the premise, I'm like, well, who else? Like maybe Whitney, even Whitney's early songs were like dancey songs. Celine Dion, maybe. Celine Dion was like the only ballad singer that can pop. Well, Adele maybe too.
But again, these are people who have big, strong voices. You cannot do a big ballad if you don't have the pipes. So Christina has, you know, again, we are not arguing about her talent. It cannot be disputed. And after that song blew up, she, you know, it was really kind of the fast track for her. 1999, her debut album came out and won Best New Artist Grammy. Then she did a Spanish album, 2000, Mi Reflejo. And then Lady Marmalade, 2001, which, I mean, huge song. You could not get away from that song. And then 2002 is when I would argue, like, the shit got real for Christina's career. Stripped came out, and I would say this is probably her best album to date.
Hands down. Like, this is when, like, listen, you mentioned all of those pop stars before, Britney, Ashley Simpson, Jessica Simpson, many more. She was, like, grouped in those blonde, you know, and there were other women who were singers at the time who weren't blonde, but like in my mind, we're talking about that group of women that kind of looked the same. And she had the pipes, like you said. But like, Stripped is when she, like, the identity set in, right? It was like, no, this is what I'm breaking out of that. I'm showing you I am in control of my sexuality. I'm in control of my person, and I'm driving this, and this is what I want to talk about, versus, like, a very strong kind of tailored hand with the music, which I thought, which for me, my little self, I mean, I think all of us in you know, who graduated in high school, or like, yes, like, talk about it, show us, right? It just was inspiring, inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right, because that album had so much personality. And I think that that was what was missing in the pop landscape, even with her first single, Dirty, which people were very upset. I think there's been a lot of revisionist history, but that song caused a commotion, because remember, she had the assless chaps on and she had, you know, the black streaks in her hair, and it looked like she was inside of, like,
she looked
an
dirty.
Orgy
she
or
dirty.
You know what I mean? Totally. It was just, it was a big deal, but it was so different from what everybody else was doing. What are some of your favorite songs from Stripped, DeLon?
Oh, gosh. I think Fighter is my cut. Fighter is... I remember being in my room, my tiny room, like, singing the hell out of that song. Dirty, obviously, right?
Yeah. I mean, and who could forget Beautiful, co-written by, or written by Linda Perry. Instant classic, won a Grammy. Do you know what Linda Perry's, like, big hit was?
Oh my gosh, was that? Oh god, no.
And wait, I said, hey yeah, yeah. I said, hey.
Brandon, her impressions, they're fucking great. They're fucking great. Wait, was that her singing that?
Floppy hat. Her floppy ass hat. Yeah, she was in, oh my God, I can't remember the name. What was the name of this group? It's, okay, wait, the name of her
why
group,
does Third Eye Blind go in my head? That's not it.
No, that's definitely a group. Oh, the name of Linda Perry's group was Four Non-Blondes.
Wait, three, what did I say? Three of something four, blind?
You said three, Third Eye Blind.
Wait,
you were in the ballpark.
Listen, Third Eye Blind, Four Non-Blondes, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, look at the irony of Christina breaking out from the blondes with Linda Perry, who was decidedly a non-blonde. I mean, there's kind of a little woo-woo going on in there. Listen, I've lived in California for 3 years, so now I'm, like, into woo. I agree that Beautiful, I mean, again, her voice is just so freaking good. And the song has such emotion, and it was like an LGBTQ, like, music video with all these different queer couples and, like, body positivity. And, like, there was just so much happening in that video that for that time period felt like a really big deal.
Was the music video for Beautiful, was that when it was, like, a beauty contest?
No. In Beautiful, there was just, like, a lot of different, like, beauty shots of people of different backgrounds.
I see. And
Christina's in the video too, but she's, like, you know, at the beginning, she's like, don't look at me.
Wait, that part was dumb. Let's be honest. That part was dumb. Don't look at me. They're like,
I liked it.
Wait, but my only argument there is, like, you want us to look at you. Everyone wants it. You're right.
Girl, you're shooting a music video.
Shut up. Bitch, what are you talking about? Wasn't there some interesting quotes that she had about the album too, that about Dirty specifically, when she got all that clap back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was really about embracing her sexuality. And she said, I came out with Dirty. It was my fuck it moment. And it was defiance of the squeaky clean image that pop stars had to maintain at the time. This was me stepping up and saying I was a woman who's proud of my sexuality. And I think this quote is important because we see this throughout Christina's career, this idea of, I'm not like the other girls. I'm sexy. I fuck. I mean, you know, meanwhile, Britney was like, I'm a virgin, right? There was this whole question about Britney's virginity. And Jessica Simpson was like, I'm a Christian, no sex before marriage. And Christina was like, let's go in a basement and do it.
Oh,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I love the contextualization of the image of Britney, though, because I really hadn't thought about that. I mean, obviously the schoolgirl thing works, but like it was that virgin thing. But I'm also like the shorts, the skirt's really short. So it's subliminal sex, not even subliminal. It's like It's promoting sex, but it's saying I'm not, you know, and Jessica Simpson being Christian. That's really interesting. And that's why she got so much flack, Christina, because she was like, no. I do have sex. I do want sex. I have desires, right? I'm in full control of my body and what I want, which the other girls
were. You're right. And it's wild to think that at that time, which was not that long ago, you know, I know that we like to joke that we're old, but 20 years ago, it was supposedly revolutionary for a young woman to say, I'm sexual, I like my body, I'm hot. I mean, today that seems like pretty passe, but you're correct. At that time, she was being positioned against other pop stars. And I would also argue, coming from the Mickey Mouse Club, that was also probably part of her desire to be like, I'm not a child anymore. I'm not the girl that you knew from Disney. Like, I am a hoe in the streets. I can do the splits. I can bust it wide open. You know what I mean?
Oh, bust it wide open, though. Bust it wide open, though. I'm not mad. Listen, dirty for me, like, if you ain't dirty, you ain't here to party. Listen, let's move, right? Ladies move. You know, that, like you said earlier, it put her on the map for me, definitely. And it's arguably the bop of that era. But after that, I have to be honest, everything else is hazy. Like everything else.
I'm sorry. Like, I have to put my foot down here, because Back to Basics came out. I know this is a podcast, but if you could see DeLon's face right now, you look disgusted.
The head is cocked.
You are not here for it. But I'm sorry. Back to Basics was. There were some good songs on that album. It was a little unfocused. It was a two-disc CD.
A little unfocused. Why was it two discs? Why was it two discs? Wait, name. I want you to give me that five songs on that. Top five songs on that. She can't. She can't.
Okay. No. Stop. I can name like three. I can name Ain't No Other Man, Hurt, Candyman.
Oh, Candyman.
There's another. I can't name anything else.
I do remember Candyman. I do remember this album.
And I will admit, like, it was a conceptual album, and I think that that was part of why it didn't work. Like, I love Ain't No Other Man, but like the longevity of like the da 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 da, I'm snapping my fingers, I'm doing the Charleston. Like, nobody wants to fucking listen to that at a club.
Yeah, we were all confused about the theme, like the 50s throwback boogie woogie swing follow Stripped. Like, I was just so confused about that. Stripped had this like kind of rock, you know, go full Linda Perry, right? Go fucking rock. And like, I don't know, like it just didn't seem like a pivot that made sense for her.
Yeah. I mean, I give her credit for taking a risk. You're right. Like, it didn't feel like a natural transition after Stripped. It felt kind of like out of the blue.
And it didn't feel on brand. It actually feels like it was a reversion back, right, to what she was doing before, to like the clean, put together. And maybe it was a response to all the flack she got for Stripped and for Dirty in particular. But like, yo, take a note out of Madonna's book, which I guess Madonna did like continues to reinvent herself throughout every album. But, you know, Madonna never cared. She was like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, while the album, you know, got fans and got radio play, it was not, arguably not as successful as her previous albums. And to your point, from there, it just kind of like spiraled downwards. She had Bionic in 2010, which was described as R&B future pop. It was a flop. And I think oftentimes it was just compared to Lady Gaga at the time, because Gaga was also doing this, the very futuristic, another blonde, another, you know, woman who can really sing, and the industry loves to pit women against each other. And so, to make matters worse, Christina was throwing shade at Gaga. She said something like, I don't know who she is, which is like,
why do these divas always do that? They always pretend not to know what's happening in the landscape. Well, girl, we know you know who she is.
But also, like, it's such, it's so short-sighted, because, like, look at Gaga now, right? Like, it's really easy when a first album comes out to go, I don't know her. But, like, now she's been here for multiple years and has an Oscar. Like, we all know who she is now. Like, it would have been smart. Right. Maybe y'all should have worked together or something.
Right. And you know, no one's really talking about Christina but Delana Francesca.
Right, exactly. So then she had Lotus in 2012, Liberation in 2008. She had another Spanish album in 2022. She's also done a number of collaborations, like Say Something with Great Big World, which I don't know that.
Is that a
I don't know
band?
Who that is. I don't know who those people are, but...
wait, we just talked about Christina saying, I don't know her. Fans said, I don't know her.
Listen, and that's not to say, clearly, if Christina likes them, they are somebody. And it was a good song. It did very well. I heard it all of the time. But I was not familiar with Great Big World. It's a small world, after all, but maybe somebody knows who they are. And then she had Moves Like Jagger with her voice co-star Adam Levine in 2011. And do you, like, what are your thoughts on that song?
Well, I mean, she isn't really singing it, right? Does she sing, like, does she have a verse, or she's on the bridge?
Look, this is the fact that you don't know, I think speaks volumes.
Point. Yep.
Because you remember the Adam Levine, she's like in the background going, yeah, yeah! Like, and it goes like this. It sounds like she's in the other room. It sounds like Adam Levine was in the studio and she was like next door. And she was just like, let me through.
I'm dying. They like cracked the window.
But she does have a bridge. But like, it's just not memorable.
I know. Well, I mean, the song is a bop, though. I do remember like dancing to that. You know, whatever year it came out, 2001, my like 20 some year old self was like jamming to this song. But to your point, mm-hmm. or to the point, I just don't remember her on it. Like, if you had told me, irrespective of this topic, that Christina Aguilera had a duet with Maroon 5, I'd be like, what song is that? I would not.
It also just didn't feel like their voices didn't really match.
Right.
Like, to your earlier point about her moving away from the rock style, if she had done that right after Stripped, maybe I could have seen that making sense. But it really just felt like, oh, we're both on The Voice, we should do a song together. But it just didn't sound... Her voice is so big, and like, so Adam Levine, he like knows his lane. He's doing like, you know, the falsetto and the whatever, but like Christina's, yeah, it's just like Christina is overpowering him, which I think is why they had her record so far away. She just, it's like she's not in the song.
They put her in the back of the studio.
They're like, turn her down, please.
They were like, she's like, why is the mic so far? They're like, girl, we got you. We can hear you.
Don't worry. Wait, can pick you up.
Unrelated, as you would say. Weren't you starring in a Maroon 5 video at some point?
Oh, my God. Yes. I was in the Girls Like You Maroon 5 music video. That song is burned into my head.
Oh, because you heard it so many times?
Oh, my God. We had to hear it a million I had to listen to it a million times because they wanted us to lip sync to it.
Oh, shoot.
And then when we recorded the video, we just had to do it over and over and over again. Fun fact, there is a take of me holding hands with Adam Levine. Didn't make it to the... They were like, oh, this is too hot. We gotta take this out.
They were like, not this Jungle Fever. No.
They were like, if the whites didn't like her before, they're going to be really mad. They're going to be really mad now.
They're going to be pissed. Friends, if you don't want to listen to the whole song, I will help you fast forward to 2:10 time marker, and you will see our girlfriend, Chelsea, starring.
Oh, my God. Not you looking it up. I'm flipping my non-existent hair.
Oh, and this is when you had your beautiful long locks, too.
Yeah, it was a totally different era.
Back to Christina. Yeah, so she also dabbled in some film and television. Burlesque, co-starring Cher, happened in 2010. That was a flop.
A flop.
Unfortunately, it was a flop. It was kind of giving, you know, what's that other sexy kind of burlesque movie?
Showgirls?
It's giving Showgirls, but it's better than
okay,
Showgirls.
It's not Showgirls. I will say I watched the movie later, like long after it came out, and I was surprised. Like, I didn't think she was bad. Like, I didn't think she was amazing, but I thought she did a passable job. Like, I'm surprised it didn't do very well.
Listen, I rewatched it because it came out on Netflix March 1st. So if it's still up there, you guys can watch it as well. And I was like, I'm watching this. I hate watching this. I'm expecting it. My expectations are in the basement. You know what? Absolutely right. You're so right. She did a passable job. They did a really good job of like having her like sing, obviously, but everyone in the scene work, everyone talks around her and she's like trying to butt in a lot. So like, and they made her look stunning. They, you know, sold her little body, which was great. She does a really, really good job. And I mean, obviously she's a performer and a dancer, but she does like a killer job with the dancing too. So I was very impressed.
Yeah, it was decent. My favorite part of that movie is like the earlier half, no one knows she can sing and she's like all quiet and shy and like lip syncing to songs, you know, in the burlesque show. And her adversary pulls the plug during one of her performances to like, I'm going to set her up. Mm-hmm. And Christina's like looking all scared and like, what am I going to do? And Cher's like, pull down the curtain. We got to move on. And Christina's like, no! Everyone's like, oh my God, she could sing. It's so campy and ridiculous, but like, I just love it. It made me laugh so hard.
It's so good. It's such a dramatic moment, but like, it's everything you're waiting for in the film. But I did want them to have like a really cool duet together in the film that they didn't.
Oh, no way. You know what? It's been so long since I watched it. That seems like such a huge missed opportunity.
Doesn't it? Because Cher has her moment. Christina sings most of the film, but like Cher has her moment. And I just want them to have like a women like moment together to be like, yeah, we've done it or whatever, you know, but it's just like a total missed opportunity.
Side note, I have to do my Cher. If I could turn back time, if I could find a way.
I just fell out. I just fell all the way out. Here's the thing. Even if they're not, like, someone could argue that they're, like, not amazing, but they're so good to me because I can't do them. They're so good. And it's also the way you set it up. You pick the best part, and it's so fucking good.
Yeah, oh don't God. Ask. Don't ask me to do like Cher singing anything else. I can sing like literally three sentences, and also on the pod, you can't see that I'm doing the mouth. You know, Cher does like a long squished mouth, and she kind of like, oh, do you believe in love after love? It's like, oh.
Wait, and Fred is also waving her head and has her hands up.
Yeah, you have to. I can feel something.
Oh, and she's got the hair going now.
Yeah, you have to like move the long hair. You know, it's this is called a method. You know,
method acting. Yeah,
physicality. Yes.
Christina was also a judge on The Voice from 2011 to 2016. Did you ever watch The Voice?
No, I couldn't get into it.
Me either. She was also on that with Adam Levine and all the other folks. She guest starred on Nashville, a show I've never watched.
I loved that dumb show. I loved it.
It's like a soap opera, isn't it?
It's bad. It's bad. I don't know why I like bad music shows, but to be fair, so do you. We also watched Smash.
I was like the attack.
Don't act like you didn't watch Smash. We watched every freaking episode.
I watched all of Smash top to toe, but you were like, but you too. I was like, don't try to drag me down with you. No, I love some Smash. I mean, we should also have an episode about that because Smash.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to. We are definitely going to talk about that.
And she appeared in Pitch Perfect 2. Did you watch that?
No. I mean, I did watch the movie, but I don't remember her being in it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, you know, we talked about Burlesque and it flopping, but I'm curious if you have any other reflections, get it, on Christina's career, because she's done a lot of different things, again, in addition to these musical ventures, but I'm curious if you have any thoughts about why, you know, this conversation is happening on our podcast, what went right and what went wrong, for example.
You know, I guess my big overarching thing about Christina is that I always feel like she's singing like she has to prove something. Mm. And, like, we know you have a good voice. Look, Christina, come here. I'm going to talk to you real quick. we know you have a good voice. The talent is there. Obviously, you wouldn't be a star if you're not. But it's like she has to do so much riffing, so much acrobatics. I will say this. Yeah. One more thing about Burlesque, though. In Burlesque, she sings a song that is so light. There's no growling. There's no riffing. It's so sweet. And I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard her do that. And it's beautiful.
She has one of those on Back to Basics, and it's called Hurt. And it is beautiful. It's really light. It's her head voice. And to your point, we don't ever get to hear her do that. And so that's partly why it's successful, because it feels different, you know? And I think you're right. She's always been trying to prove to us that she has this voice. And I think that because of that, she kind of lost her musical identity, instead of focusing on what she's good at and what she really wants to put out into the world, it has always kind of felt like it has that energy of like, you never believed in me, so now I'm going to show you, you know? And like, it's funny because she was named the diva when she was on Mickey Mouse Club, and that comes through in a lot of her music. This like, I'm better, like, and she does it in her interviews too. Like, she kind of has this reputation of being a little shady and a little catty, And I would also add that I've long had a theory that if your voice is too good, it's almost more difficult for you to succeed as a pop star. It's not that it doesn't happen, but people want songs they can sing along to. And it's really hard to sing along to someone going, I can do it, but like not a
get off of the microphone, get out of here.
Oh my God, I was such a bitch. Listen, my voice is nothing like hers.
No,
but most people cannot keep up with her.
I agree with you. I'm just adding, like, I feel like this about, and not in the same exact way, but just about Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson's voice is so big that like, I mean, what does she do album wise? Like, she sings, but right. I don't like living under your spotlight. That was her only
And that was a cute song.
It was cute. That's the only one.
But you know what? By contrast, somebody like Beyonce, who has a fantastic voice, she does a lot of songs where she's like, and I'm talking to you like this, and you can sing along, and I'm kind of rap talking, and then she'll do like a big thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, she picks her moments when she's going to show off her vocal abilities.
Right.
And she gives you ballads, but then she gives you rap pop. She gives you to the left. She gives you stuff that like everybody can be like, yep, got it. I'm singing along.
I know where the left is. I know where the right is. Yep.
She's speaking my life.
I have those body parts. Wait, what are your reflections on Christina?
You know, it makes me sad that she has always been in Britney's shadow. And I was thinking about the fact that when that VMA kiss with Madonna and Britney happened, Christina was there. Christina kissed Madonna.
Also.
And even when you go back and watch it, it's so sad because you can see Christina kisses Madonna first, and then she watches Madonna and Britney kiss, and it's almost like you can see Christina going, motherfucker, I should have kissed second. I should have, goddamn, once again.
And silent when Christina kissed her, and then everyone screamed when Britney did it.
Literally, everyone was like, Britney kissed Madonna, and it's like, oh my God, like once again. And I felt like that was a moment of Christina kind of extending an olive branch to Britney as like, look, we're going to do this together.
Right.
Like, we've been pit against each other for so long. And I don't think that they had bad blood ever, but that was the narrative at the time of like Britney versus Christina. So them doing this together, I think they even presented an award together at the VMAs. It was really like, look, we're on the same team. And even with all of that, she was still outshadowed I thought that was so funny, but also really sad.
Did you think that like the reality moment was a little bit of a step back for her?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's interesting because I definitely don't think reality TV shows have the same negative connotation that they did to start.
For sure.
I think now, you know, like Ariana Grande was a host on The Voice.
Right.
And like she's a pretty big, successful pop star. But in my mind, I think of reality TV as something that you do when your kids have gone off to college and you maybe put out a greatest hits album and you're like, you know what, let me just record a reality show like on the side. It just feels like a step backwards.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel, again, sorry to bring up Beyonce, but like Beyonce not doing a reality show, right?
No.
Like an artist who is like super successful and it just doesn't feel expensive. Like, do you know what I mean?
I do, but I also feel like Beyonce's also like not stepping up to a mic to talk anymore.
Okay, fair. But again, some of that not lifting the veil, not letting us know what her personal inner workings of her thoughts are.
Yes.
Like all of that maintains this air of mystery about her. And I miss that about celebrities. Some of y'all, I wish someone would change your Twitter password, like get you off Instagram. Like I don't, I don't want to know. And I think a reality show in Christina's instance, because she had had so many albums that just aren't memorable and weren't doing well, there's something about reality that feels kind of desperate. And I don't know if that's right.
Along the same lines, I would say like the, you know, I know Christina has had some like endorsements and products and all that kind of stuff. And I tend to, when I see celebrities do that a lot, I start to think, oh, I mean, everyone's out here for a coin. We live in a capitalist society. I'm a full-on capitalist. Give me the money, write the check, okay?
Right.
But when you start to see a celebrity doing a lot of that, you're like, okay, like, are you, what's happening, right? You're either trying to keep yourself out there or it's about the coin. But, like, if you're peddling products and stuff all over the place.
Well, and it has to feel like the right product, though, sure. You know, like to your point about these brand deals and endorsements, Christina is now one of the co-founders of a sexual intimacy brand called Playground.
Okay.
And they make a water-based lube for women. And, you know, I just, when I think about lube, I don't want to think about Christina Aguilera.
You are literally about to get down.
When you're trying to slide it in, that's the sound without the lube. It's a, you. Not us writing the commercial.
Wait, that's the commercial, totally. Well, guaranteed to make you sound like Christina.
That is so funny. Well, again, Christina Aguilera, because, you know, in the past she's been about her sexuality. In the press release, she says, women's sexual health is something I can talk about for days. It's been a vital part of the messaging of my career, and I've always wanted to empower women to feel safe enough to open up, spread those legs,
girl.
Share the stories, and talk about it. Every vagina is different.
Every vagina is different. Listen, Georgia O'Keeffe said, every vagina is a beautiful, beautiful flower.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's also one of the celeb partners for Xeomin, along with Teyana Taylor and Joe Jonas. And this is like in the world of Botox. It's like it is an injectable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. On the one hand, I do think it's interesting because celebrities normally don't talk about their cosmetic procedures. They're just like, I have lips now. And you're like, girl, you did not always have lips.
Okay.
So on the one hand, like if you're gonna get injectables, you might as well get paid for it. And it is cool that a male celebrity, Joe Jonas, is also doing it.
Which is again, rare to see, right?
Very weird. Very weird, but I'm cool that he's doing it. But again, it doesn't feel expensive. And it doesn't feel like it fits her brand to me.
Well, and I mean, it just makes me think of all of those like supermodels from the 90s, Cindy Crawford, Christie Brinkley, who are now doing these infomercial, like topical, you know,
serums and gym stuff
to fix your crow's feet and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem, and I guess like you said, with Teyana Taylor and Joe Jonas by her side, I guess it makes sense. But I'm just like, it doesn't, like you said, it's not on brand. And it also feels a little thirsty. It feels like a little like a money grab to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And to your point about the 90s supermodels, those are women who've had very long careers,
right?
And were like very young, and they're still beautiful, but they were very young when they came out in their careers, and now they're at an age where it feels like it makes sense to push a youthful serum or exactly. Gym equipment. And like Christina's our age, and she's like 41 42. It's like, again, no shade to getting injectables, but considering all of her talents and her brand, which feels a little sexier and a little just more, again, like her talent is just so undeniable, it feels weird to do something that is connected to beauty and aging. It just doesn't feel authentic to me.
Authentic is the word. One thing I will say, though, like just going back through the episode and like the history we kind of laid out there, she hasn't, I mean, there was Stripped and then like all these other albums, you know, Ain't No Other Man. What was that album called? Back to Basics. Back to Basics. But after that, like, the, none of the albums were, like, landed, right? Like, the record sales mm-hmm. just were not there. And, I mean, it's, one could argue that records are no longer, CDs no longer being purchased. But to, like, she had to supplement that with something, right? If we're not mm-hmm. buying her albums, she's like, let me use the celebrity another way, and I'm not mad at that, right?
Yeah. Well,
Christina Aguilera, Let Me Fix It.
Let me fix it.
Let me fix it.
Yeah, this is the point where now we've done the backstory. Let's look forward and figure out how we would pitch to potentially fix Christina's career. Delon, you should go first.
Okay. I don't understand why Christina Aguilera is not licensing music equipment. I'm talking about like a home karaoke machine. You know those like little mics? Fran bought me a microphone that's like an at-home karaoke machine that wireless that you just like plug into a USB, and I think it actually can even click up to like a karaoke thing and play the music through it as well. Why isn't there like a Christina Aguilera karaoke mic, right? Like it makes you sound like Christina Aguilera.
Oh my God. Because you know how they have those mics too where you can put like an effect on your voice?
Yes.
To your point, it would be like the big booming reverb that you could add to give you the like, you know, now they have on TikTok all those filters that make your voice sound different. They could totally put an AI filter on one of those little karaoke mics so you could sound like Christina. That is genius. And to your point earlier, it feels authentic to her brand. You are a singer. Give us something musical. I would love... Remember those little karaoke spots in New York that we would go to where it's like a little booth and you could...
Yes.
sing along and stuff. I would love a concept space like that for Christina Aguilera, where you could get on stage and you could sing a bunch of Christina songs and there's like a backing track and maybe there's like, you know, a built-in thing where they could take clips for your Instagram or for your TikTok
of
you lip-syncing to Christina or singing along to her. And, you know, they would have all of the other hits from the era, but Christina Aguilera would be... It would be like brought to you by Christina Aguilera. It's like a new like Hard Rock Cafe or something. Ooh,
and you know, I'll even add on to that. Make it a pop-up shop, right? It's a pop-up karaoke thing that Christina will, you know, you can go to different cities and so on and so forth. And like even add a competition element to it. It's just a karaoke competition.
Yeah.
Where like
fuck the voice. You know? Fuck the voice. It's Christina's voice.
Ready?
That's, you know what I mean? Like
Yes. Yeah,
I think that's really cute. We also talked about, you know, everybody's doing makeup now, and Rihanna really like blew all y'all motherfuckers away. Rihanna was like, I'm doing this. She really got there first, but Christina was so well known for that red lip. She should have done a red lip, like a just red, just a line of reds, especially because there's like a certain red that looks good on black girls. There's a certain red that looks good on olivey skin. Yeah, we can't all wear that same brick red. Like, depending on what your undertones are you more golden tones? Or are you more warm? Are you more cool tones? And just a signature line of Christina reds, I feel like that would have been so smart.
And it's called Xtina, right?
Mm-hmm.
That right.
I love
there.
That.
I will also add on to that wigs. Like, now, I mean, I feel like wigs used to be like a little like taboo to wear back in the day, but now like everyone is wearing a wig. Even if you don't need a wig, they are wearing wigs. My sisters and my mom have multiple wigs, lace front, beautiful wigs. Why isn't Christina have like a like you said, like variation on the blonde, right? Or tracks. Like everybody wears tracks.
extensions. Yeah, because remember in Lady Marmalade, she had like that big curly blonde with like little pieces and clips and stuff. Like, I could have seen her doing little clip-in extensions, or even when she did Dirty, she had like the black strips in her hair. Like, sell those, right? Like, that feels like it would have been really smart.
Yeah. My other thing about how I would love to fix her is like, why? I will say this caveat, this is coming. This is the making of her life is coming. But like a very behind the music, like a doc about Christina. We had Beyonce do one. I'm sure other people have done one. I want to know, like, aggregate it and have her sit down on the couch and tell us beat for beat what happened to her. Like, I would go to pay for that in the theater. or no, I don't think there's a T anymore, but.
I think that's a good idea, especially because, you know, when you think about the Beyonce documentary or Lizzo, or Lady Gaga, like these are personalities. And I have to say, I don't really know much about Christina's personality beyond the diva label. A documentary is a great opportunity to see like the softer, realer side. And to your point, to get the true story behind the moments that we remember, like talk to us about auditioning for Star Search and being on Mickey Mouse Club, which actually leads into my fix. Mm. My pitch is that Christina do Broadway. And I know you're going to roll your eyes as a Broadway performer yourself, but if Bruce Springsteen can have a residency, so can Christina. And I want it to be personal stories, like a one-woman show review of her life and career. Have some multimedia, have some never before seen clips of her as a child, you know, playing on a big screen. Again, have that Star Search moment, and then she would talk about it. You know, it's just her and a piano, to your thing about, you know, she's always doing these so big. Let's get some jazzy stripped down covers or renditions of her hit songs, and then she can talk about, you know, when I was writing this, and me and Linda Perry, we were in the studio when we were talking about X, Y, and Z. And she could really, again, just give us insight into who she is. Look at Adele and her Vegas residency, right? It's been hugely successful despite all of the setbacks. And you don't have to.
They actually ended up doing that, did they?
They did do it. And here's the thing. What a lot of these residencies are doing, I believe this is what Adele is doing, is she's not there every night of the week. She's only there a few nights. And then she goes back to her home. Like, Christina could do a limited run on Broadway. The same way, you know, we've got all these different celebrities that go and do Chicago. Brandy did Chicago. And
The disdain I have.
I know, but listen, I'm thinking about the fact that when she did Burlesque, again, she wasn't amazing as an actress. I think she was passable, but she had enough of a presence that I think with a little more training and a little just more on the job experience, she could do it. We know she can dance. We know she can sing. A Burlesque version or a Broadway version of Burlesque. Let us see Christina on stage. Like, I just think she could handle it. And again, it feels like, one, expensive because it's Broadway. It's exclusive. Not everybody can go. The tickets are expensive. It's flashy. Celebrities will come. You could do a big press tour. It feels elevated in a way that hosting a reality show does not.
Well, listen, as somebody who's like ready, hair flip, been on Broadway, but as somebody who like is a theater performer, like this is my bread and butter, I feel like what happens a lot of times in the commercial capitalistic nature of Broadway, we bring in these stars to save shows, and or there are a lot of times where like some of these shows, Broadway shows, won't get made without a star. At the same time, I'll contradict myself in saying like when these stars do come in, like a Hugh Jackman or Sutton Foster, who's another Broadway star, when they do come in, they provide a lot of jobs for people, right? Because there's people have to fill out the cast. So I will say that's where my prejudice comes from. I just roll my eyes and be like, oh, God, it always takes a star. Meanwhile, I have 2 degrees in this shit. And like, you can be Greasy Negler, just like trip over and be like, now I'm going to do Broadway. But you're right.
But I would rather them give the Broadway opportunity to someone who can actually sing versus somebody who's like, this would be fun, I've always wanted to try this, and they can't actually. Because look, you know, 7, 8, 9 shows a week is no joke. That's
why
really
my voice is currently
hard.
Like it is, because I am doing a show, 6 shows a week that just opened.
So not everybody can hack it, right? So you are correct. It should not just be handed to anybody. But I would argue that Christina could handle it, and she doesn't need to do 8 or 9 shows a week. She could do a limited run for a month. They could do a screen capture and do it on Apple, do it on Netflix.
This is the thing I was going to say about my idea about doing like a doc about her. Like, I don't know if you watched the Pamela Anderson doc, it's worth your time, but the end of her I'm ruining for you, spoiler alert, stop it if you don't want to listen to this. She goes, she'd had a Broadway residency in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Right? She did Chicago. So, like, yes.
Do kind of like a whole doc about her life.
The making of.
And ending mm-hmm. with that, this, you know, solo show that you're talking about, right? I think that would be really smart. Like to have them kind of, now I'm directing it, right? To have them play parallel. It's a couch moment.
Yeah.
But you also see her rehearsing and getting ready for the show. So it's kind of like all intertwined. And then the end of the whole doc, you don't see the show. You have to go to see the show.
You have to go see it. Yeah, I mean, that it is a really reliable format. That's what Gaga did with her documentary. It was her getting ready for the Super Bowl. That's what Beyonce did, her getting ready for Coachella.
That's right, yeah.
Jennifer Lopez also did the same thing, getting ready for Super Bowl. Taylor Swift was getting ready to go on her, like, world tour. I mean, it makes sense. It's very smart. And I also really like that both of our fixes are kind of related to each other. There's the stage version, there's the film documentary version, but they all are about putting the focus back on Christina's talent and showing it in a new forward-thinking way. So now it is time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we highlight someone or something that has turned the ship around and they didn't even need input from Delon and I. you did it on your own, girl. You're gonna get it anyway. We're giving you your props. On theme of musicians, I'm going to say my glow up goes to Mandy Moore. She was one of those Britney clones in the 2000s, and now a lot of people I don't even think remember that she did music because she is an Emmy nominated and SAG award winning actress. For a show I've never watched, This Is Us. I hear she's great on it. I don't want... Listen, anytime I hear about This Is Us, people are like, I'm crying. I'm like, I don't want to cry. I cry enough on my own.
Already.
I don't want to cry for fun. I don't want to cry for fun. I hear she's fantastic on it. But I remember Mandy as, I'm missing you like candy. Also, what does that mean? You miss them like candy?
All those songs were so euphemistic. I'm missing the like candy meaning like I want to suck on some candy. That's where my mind went.
Oh, no. See, I didn't think, I was like, girl, you got to watch your sugar. What are you talking about? Like, are you like, it makes me think of like after Halloween, your parents would take the candy and they'd be like, you're not going to eat all of this. You can have two or three pieces. I'm going to put this up on this shelf. And you would be eating Halloween candy for like a month.
Literally. And my mom would be like, yeah, I'm just tasting to make sure it's not poison. Yeah. Eating half of my Halloween candy. So my glow up would be in the Venn diagram of Christina Aguilera is, I'm going to give it to Britney Spears. Why? Because listen, I know what you're thinking. Britney got free. We freed Britney. And we're watching Britney spin around in her panties on Instagram. But listen. She's allowed to have her money and spin around her panties on Instagram. So live your life, girl. She was under the microscope for so long.
If anybody deserves to be half naked on Instagram, it's Britney. She needs to do it on her own terms, on her own time, and make her own money from it. Versus, you know, her whole family was getting a check off of that poor girl. And she had no control over her life and career.
She basically said, I'm a slay. I mean, literally, she was everyone was on her payroll.
Oh my god, yes. So shout out to Britney Spears. We're so glad, girl, that you are in a place. Yeah, listen, I am happy for her. I'm ready. I did hear that she wrote a book. She finished writing a book. It's supposed to be coming out in the near future. You know, she got a pretty penny for that deal. She sure did. So in the world of the glow up, Britney is going to get to tell her own story on her own terms, and I will be seated. Maybe I'll get the audiobook, but I will check it out.
My jaw is on the ground. I'm already, my head is spinning. I cannot wait to read this book, and I don't really read like that.
That's why I said I'm going to get the audiobook version. Well, listen, everyone, that is our show. Let Me Fix It. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to keep up with the latest episodes of our show by subscribing wherever you get your favorite podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, head over to your favorite app and give us a rating.
You can also follow us on Instagram at FixItPod. So shoot us a DM and leave us a comment and let us know what you thought.
Yeah, let us know what things you think we should be fixing. And let us know what you thought about the fixes for Christina Aguilera's career in this episode. What would you like to see her do in the future? Let us know, because this is not a one-way conversation, folks. You are part of our community, and we appreciate you for listening. So we'll talk to you next episode.
Bye.